your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. We're going to continue to focus more on the broad markets and the individual sectors that are doing well, as I am chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, the U.S. markets, for the most part, have been kind of choppy, sideways, really flatlined from the consistent rise that we were seeing almost month over month. This has been about a three-week trend now. It's the markets are a bit more selective when it comes to which sectors are running. It was a couple months ago that you and I were talking about overall breadth, and you were outlining the fact that it just seemed like everything was running. There are some extreme breadth indicators. Now it's just coming down to certain sectors that continue to perform, really about playing or continuing to play some of these uptrends. Dana, what are some of the sectors that you are focused on right now?
Yeah, sure, Corey. Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, we talked about that post-election period where basically everything went straight up for like 3 months and you could not, pretty much could not lose. You throw a dart at the board, you couldn't lose. The hard part then was actually being in it at the beginning because everyone got scared out right before the election. But if you were in it, that was about as good a market, as easy a market as you're ever going to get. Over the last, you say 3 weeks, even 3 months, it's been more of a two-way market that we've called, where, you know, as an active risk manager, this is where you earn your keep. It's not, like you said, everything going straight up. So you have to be a little bit more selective in both your timing when you're buying, when you're getting in, but also now in terms of investment selection, what you're going to buy. So, but there's no, you know, the growth gets the headlines because it's been pulling back of late, technology and the NASDAQ and even the Russell 2000, but there's no shortage of sectors and market segments that are still attractive. It's still seemingly hitting new highs every single day. Areas like, you know, industrials and materials, financials, a lot of the commodity markets that we talked about that would go hand in hand with the materials, and even other markets like we talked about, like the crypto markets. There's really, you know, no shortage of opportunities out there. You just have to be, like I mentioned, a little bit more selective in what you're getting into now. It's not, you know, throw a dart kind of a market. You have to be a little bit more active in your selection as well as your timing and when you're getting in. And it's still breadth-wise, no major concerns. There are areas that have broken down or pulling back of late, but just last week, like I think we talked about recently, you know, advanced decline line was at all-time high. All the broad averages were at all-time high, so we don't see major overall breadth concerns yet at this point.
Okay, Dana, let's look at the value sector then, because as much as growth had everyone's attention a number of months ago, value has started to take over. Is this a rotation into value that you see continuing?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say for sure, but right now it is continuing. So we kind of play what's happening now, and value continues to, it's one of those areas that continues to move up day after day, all-time high day after day. So right now, that's certainly the place to be. You don't have to rotate out of growth like wholesale. There's still opportunities there. In fact, right now you're seeing mid-cap and large-cap growth pulling back and testing some support levels. So we're buying the dip there as well. But if those support levels give way, that's what I'm talking about, being a little bit more active in managing risk. If those support levels give way, then we'll likely be out of there. But you can get in. You just have to be a little bit more selective in buying those dips and growth. But value is one of those areas that it might be, you know, it hasn't been in favor for so long. It's been out of favor for so long that it can certainly continue for a long time, much longer than people think, as trends tend to do. So it might be early. And if it is, it's still probably not too late to get into it. Certainly, we'd like to buy it on a dips, but there certainly has not been many dips of late in value, which is, you know, like I was talking about, Half the market, people ask me about the market. It depends what market you're looking at. Half the market is like hitting new highs every day. The other half, which gets more headlines, like the NASDAQ and the tech, is has been pulling back of late, but not necessarily stick a fork in that area of the market, although it has been, it is more on more thin ice. But value is where it's at more so now, and could still be early in the relative value versus growth ratio, I guess you would call it.
Okay. What about commodities too? Because you look across the board on commodities, and in the last year, pretty much every commodity has had its turn to scream higher. Food continues to run right now. Base metals are continuing to move higher. Precious metals ran, about 7 or 8 months ago. That was the end of its run when it corrected, but we're starting to see a bit more life come back into the gold and silver space. Where are you looking commodity-wise?
Yeah, commodity-wise, we've been pretty active as well because we want to catch up trends wherever they are, stocks or otherwise. So commodities have been, as you said, a great play as well, as a, kind of the reflation trade. So precious metals have been basically consolidating their bull market move into last summer. I think this is still a healthy consolidation. I think we still see a breakout eventually and a new up leg there. But of late, we've seen like the base metals you talked about, we've been in copper for a while. Corn, we've been in for a while. Grains have been going, bananas. So pretty much across the board, even oil has maintained its uptrend, holding key support in the near term recently and maintained the uptrend. So across the board, almost in commodity land, you've got opportunities. So it's not just obviously stocks, but that has obviously aided many of the equities related to those resource areas, and also other, you know, international markets that have continue to move higher or hold up very well based on the heavy resource component to those many of those international markets.
Interesting, Dana. So what do you think are some of the levels, or what are some levels that you're watching closely on any of the commodities, say precious metals or even any of the base metals like copper?
Copper, well, we trade ETF. So one of the ETFs we're in, CPR, just tested all-time highs today, as a matter of fact. So we did take some profits there. Corn, we trade the corn ETF, CORN, hit that first retracement, fib retracement from its all-time high in 2012 or earlier this week. So we did take some profits there. So we're not chasing, we're not buying at all costs, but these things are still in firm uptrends, and we would continue to buy the dips in pretty much any of these commodities, as long as, you know, we're seeing higher highs and higher lows. So they are getting a little bit extended, which is why we're taking some profits, but still riding with the rest of the position. And we'll be looking down the road to buy some dips as well.
Let's also talk cryptocurrencies, because as much as Bitcoin still has a lot of people's attention, Ethereum has gone through really a euphoric rise here, almost, well, I guess, trying to play a little bit of catch up to Bitcoin. But I know you've been sucked into that crypto space. So, Dana, where do you stand now?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't take a lot to get us sucked in. We're not buying the hype. All it takes is a price chart with enough history to plug into our models, and Ethereum and Bitcoin both had that. So we had that breakout in Bitcoin, like you mentioned, late in 2020, hopped on board there and ran with that. And then Ethereum, like we talked about, is maybe a couple months behind. Maybe a month behind Bitcoin. We saw the breakout in January. We've been on a board there. That's hit basically parabolic status over the last week or two. So we did take some profits today, as you since you asked. Around 3,600 is one of the key fib extension levels that we're looking at. So certainly would not be chasing Ethereum up here or any of the other ones, but still in an uptrend, still happy to buy the dips as long as we're, again, we're seeing the higher highs and higher lows. So Ethereum might be the new Bitcoin. It's playing catch up, but if Bitcoin can rally, you ask about levels, if it can decisively move back above that, call it 58,000 level, that puts new highs back on the table, and we'd be looking at about the 74,000 level next in Bitcoin.
Wow. Okay. there are some levels for everyone to stick to. Dana, very interesting. Always chatting with you. You do a great job of filtering out a lot of the noise, news headlines, and really just looking at the charts and playing these uptrends. So something to consider for all those active investors that follow along with our show. Dana, great chatting with you this weekend. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.